This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
It is a victory Monday after an absolute 38-10 walloping of the Dolphins here at Gillette Stadium yesterday by the New England Patriots. And hello and good morning and great to be back. How is everybody? Who wants to start?
I'm great. I'm jealous that I didn't get the memo on the Victory Monday sweatshirts. You and Wiggy look phenomenal next to each other.
What up, twin?
They were a gift from Boomer Esiason, so we should coordinate because we got red and red and blue, and we both went blue this morning. But the New England Patriots secure the number 2 seed, and in a little over 5 days, Sunday night, 8 o'clock here at Gillette, it'll be Pats Chargers, and win and move on. As you just heard Mike Vrabel say during the intro, the tournament is underway. So. Anybody here have the Patriots at 14 wins this season? I don't believe
no,
so.
No, I was mocked for 10. Yeah, Scheim had them at 2.
Yeah. So, it's
amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And I think it's wide open. Like, I don't want to be all homerish, but I don't know. Who scares you? Wiggy, the Texans have scared you here and there. Yeah. They had a great defense.
If you really had to, and when you look at the AFC, you really look at, all right, it's about, you know, quarterback playing, coaching, and other than Josh Allen, like, I think the Texans, they're a team that they give me concern because of their defense, right? They can get after it when it comes to their pass rush. They're good against the run, but their offense doesn't concern me like that. I mean, when I look at the rest of the AFC and I look at the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen always has that ability to just make a play out of nothing. And you saw it yesterday with Drake May, where he was like, you know, looked like he was, you know, dead to rights in the pocket, and then he makes a play, boom, big first down, keep a drive going.
Yeah, I mean, he has that ability to make that play. We're getting way ahead of ourselves.
No, I know,
but that's fine. But that's not the way they've been running the offense second half of the season. I mean, they've been running the football.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just don't. I mean, Chargers here on Sunday.
Don't scare me one bit.
It doesn't.
You guys are crazy. They don't scare you one bit.
I mean, that's a little wiggy. That's a little.
No.
That's
if they lost to the Chargers on Sunday, would we not be sitting here criticizing, going, "What the hell just happened?" You lose to a team that's their offensive line is in shambles. They their wide receiver room, when you look at where they are, wide receiver room, there's nobody that scares you.
McConkey?
Yes, a Georgia boy, but there's nobody that puts fear in you.
Georgia, rough one.
You look at, oh man, don't get me started about that. Horrible, horrible fourth down call. You look at Justin Herbert, inconsistent, up and down. Like, this team doesn't scare me. I expect that you go out there and you should win this football game by at least 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think I hope they win. I think they can and should win. But the Chargers, their offensive line is awful. So that is a clear advantage. Your biggest strength or one of them is your defensive front. That's their biggest weakness. But Justin Herbert has the talent to be the best player on the field if he wants to be, if everything goes right. And it's not a matchup that, I mean, if they were playing the Panthers in the NFC, I'd say if they lose that game, they suck. Whereas this, they're a 3-point favorite at home.
Right.
It's not like you're sitting there looking at the Patriots and the Rams.
That's what I was just going to say. And I think a lot of people are basing the Chargers off of who they saw this past weekend, which isn't the same team that you're going to get here in New England.
Yeah, without their starters.
I think that's why there's a lot of people.
I don't think people are basing them off without their starters.
I'm just saying that from what I listened to people and how they talk this morning about the Patriots and the Chargers, I think that they have recency bias and they're thinking, well, this Chargers team looked terrible on Sunday. I understand they sat their starters, but I'm saying that I think it's recency bias instead of looking at the team overall.
I mean, I think overall, like, I put them in the same category that I put the Carolina Panthers in.
Really?
Yes.
If the Chargers play, the Chargers would be a touchdown favorite at least.
If you
watch the Chargers all season long, the Chargers are a team that have been, they've kind of been all over the place. And granted, they've had injuries on their offensive line, but they're not a team that I look at and go, oh, okay, they should be able to come into New England and beat you here in the postseason. Like, there is nothing that I look at the Chargers football team and say, oh, I'm concerned with. I'm not concerned with their defense. I'm not concerned with their offense. I look at you as a football team, and this is a game that you should, you know, it's the playoffs, so I'm not going to say easily win, but this is a game that you should be able to control and comfortably win at the end of the day, where you go ahead and, you know, 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you're sitting here going, all right, who are we playing next week?
Shime, did you bet it yet? Where are you on Sunday?
So I bet it at Pats -3. I like the Pats on Sunday. I think they are better than the Chargers. I don't overlook them quite the way Wiggy does. I think the Chargers are a good football team, as Curtis pointed out. I think if on any given day, Justin Herbert can be the best player on the field, but I like the Pats on Sunday. I think overall they are the better team.
All right. How was your time off or some part of it there, Shime?
It was great, Greg. Enjoyed some downtime, enjoyed some time in here, hanging out with Bradfo and Courtney and Wiggy. It was good.
I caught you a little bit here and there, filling in various times.
That.
I felt like you did a fantastic job.
Thank you very much.
And it was certainly nice to be away, but it's great to be back. And we got a lot to get to on this morning show from Gillette Stadium, and that will include our leads coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. And then the head coach of the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel, will join us here this morning at 7 for one final Victory Monday shot, regular season Victory Monday shot, and hopefully there's more to come. So Mike Vrabel at 7. They set it at 7:25. And we will definitely get to what Jaylen Brown said about where he ranks himself against the rest of the players in the world. So he's very, very confident.
Yeah,
As he should be.
Yeah, after, top of the list, I would say.
I mean that
better than Jordan is what I would say.
That 50 burger Saturday night looked pretty good.
Very good.
Speaking of 50 burgers, you're not going to be eating any of those with that wellness journal.
Let me tell you, Curtis. I knew you'd bring up the wellness journal. It's just a little. It's a little thing I've done many times. It's not a new thing. I just keep track of little things here and there. Certainly open for. I mean, there are people who approach the new year and say, "Hey,
I love it.
Refresh, restart." And right. I'm journaling
a little bit.
What's wrong with journaling?
Journaling it up.
Well, the only issue is that I saw pizza grease on the pages.
It's a rigorous journal.
Yeah, it is.
Linz was walking me through it. It's like every few hours he's got to track his workout, his intake of the calories,
perspiration,
water.
Track 2026.
Does she have you on a fart count?
No, there's nothing like that at all.
There you go, big dog.
I've done it in the past. That's the way I start the new year.
I love it.
Is it just health stuff, or is it everything?
It's not. It's not. It's not.
What do you mean by everything?
It's not everything. It's
like,
not
you know what I mean? Like, I went on a walk today, so this guy was really beautiful. No. Like a 14-year-old girl.
No.
Wiggy was talking when I was trying to get 920.
Listen, can I? I was having some fun internally with me and Linz by writing a wellness journal on it. I did not expect that it would be a post that she might make. I'm not. It's not like a mental wellness. I feel like I'm fine mentally.
Even if it is, that's beautiful.
but it's really just my attempt at. Listen, I have been mocked mercilessly by many in Twitch, and I love them. Many on the social medias. For gaining a little bit of weight here. So I am approaching the new year like many do.
Just a little bit.
And trying to get myself back into it. You know what I mean?
So, your treadmill looked like you put some work in yesterday.
I put a lot of work in on the treadmill all weekend.
I have an idea for you, Greg.
Yes.
One meal a day.
Okay. There you go. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what you do.
No ish in 2-6.
Anybody happen to see when Wiggy and I went to the annual holiday lunch at Limoncello in the North End?
It's fun.
Yeah, it did look really good.
And the one meal, the three meals that Wiggy had while we were there that
day. I had a little bit of lasagna, and I had that, what was that, veal?
The branzino.
Was that what that was?
Yeah.
I never even really eat veal before.
So that was one meal. The lasagna and
I had a little extra.
What was that bread thing? A garlic bread.
No, I didn't really fool with the bread, Curtis. The bread is what will get you.
Those are carbs.
The veal was cool.
If we want to get into it, and we don't have to, but I knew I was going to take some abuse on the wellness journal, but I had the light bulb went off while we were gone on the one meal a day thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend people for whatever their weight loss journey is, but it's clearly the Ozempic. I mean, that's clearly why that's where we're at with you.
What's wrong with that?
That's fine.
I mean, whatever you need to help you out.
Yes, it's fine.
He's the Barry Bonds of weight loss.
I got no problem with that. Give me that needle.
Yeah. Juice it up.
I understand.
No issues with that.
I understand.
We all need something to help us kickstart it going.
Amen.
That's fine.
As long as I don't get the skeleton face, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I would be more concerned about the uncontrollable bowel issue in the middle of the night with those Ozempic than I would be about the skeleton face.
Well, that helps you out, though, moving your bowels.
But not in bed in the middle of the night.
You have control
of that.
Yeah. Right.
Do they give you a package, Ozempic and Depends?
No. What am I, a 3-year-old or a 96-year-old guy? I can control my bowels.
Listen, I think there are some people who look at Ozempic and say, hey, it's a shortcut.
So what?
It's just to get this out of the way. But the way that you were bragging for a couple of weeks before we left about how I only eat one meal
a day. That's all I eat.
I know, but I didn't know it was controlled by a drug.
I mean, nothing wrong with that.
You didn't acknowledge that.
Well, he never asked.
He was giving winks. I said I take
my medication.
Yeah, you did say that, actually.
I said I take my medication. Hey. Listen, my mother used to say, if you're going to drive somewhere, take the shortcut.
Amen.
So it's the same with weight loss, right?
It's like the ways of eating.
If you need the help, you need the help for all those people out there. Hey, if Serena Williams could do it, and Charles Barkley, I could do it.
It was probably like the, I don't know, the fourth or fifth day of vacation. I was sitting around doing nothing, and I'm like, oh, I got to text Curtis. I just figured out the one meal a day.
Yeah, light bulb.
How did you not pick up on that immediately?
I don't look at Wiggy as a cheater.
I look at him as a calorie deficit guy.
Not somebody who
needs to. Sometimes you need to help curb your appetite. Right. I said it when I was here. I said, listen, I take my medication. Ain't nothing wrong with it for all those people. Guess what? I'm going down. You're going up. You keep journaling.
We'll see what happens. I'm up for it. We got a couple months.
That's it.
Why don't we see?
Get the help you need.
We'll see what happens when we get to spring training. We'll see who is in pool shape.
My shirt always comes off. So.
All right. Anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Drake May and Matt Stafford coming down to the wire for MVP.
Neck and neck.
Although the betting markets have fluctuated quite a bit over the last 2 weeks. May, after a 5-touchdown game against the Jets, who, by the way, Mitch Trubisky just threw for 4 against the Jets, did nose in front. Actually, was pretty handily, heavily, the betting favorite for MVP. That flip, though, yesterday, Matt Stafford now, betting favorite to win MVP. And I would say beyond that, it just sounds like most of the talking heads, and that's not always going to carry anything. That's not who's voting on the award. But like Tom Brady, for instance, sounds like he wants to give it to Stafford as like a career achievement award, as opposed to who's having the best season. And you can make a case Stafford's having a better season. I'm not saying that's a bad argument. I do think saying you owe one to Stafford for his career and Drake May, and this is specifically what Brady said.
Yeah.
Drake May still has a lot of time left in this league, so like he'll get one.
Yeah.
I think that's bad logic. If you want to make a case on Stafford's year versus May's year, go ahead. The legacy thing versus, oh, well, May has 15 more years in the league, he'll win one, I wouldn't go there with that.
I hate it. I think it's one of the worst arguments. As dumb as, you know, Dan Orlovsky's, how many touchdowns versus 11 win teams? Like, let's put that. Let's make that a stat, right? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. But being like, oh, this guy has a chance to win more is so dumb. This happens actually in the Oscars, believe it or not, where they're like, oh, this guy's young, he'll be in more good movies. Well, what if he isn't? Or recognize whoever did the best. So I'm sorry that this, like, 60-year-old guy, right, you go more extreme in acting, but you'd be like, this guy's never won one, let's give him one now, even though this isn't even his best movie. It's kind of a slap in the face to him. He should have won it, you know, 10 years ago. You didn't, because you had, like, the same logic now. So just because Drake May should be in the mix many more years, you never know. and give it to the guy that deserves it. It should not be a lifetime achievement award. That's what the Hall of Fame's for. You can put Stafford in the Hall of Fame if you so choose. But Drake May, I think, did have the better season, and for a couple of reasons. I know he didn't have the passing touchdowns that Stafford had. So Stafford obviously is going to put you on the map with 46 passing touchdowns, led the league. That's very good. But he also does have a lot of stud receivers on his team, right? So if you're talking about what J.J. Watt said about the most valuable player, and like, you know, if you take Stafford off the team, or if you take Drake May off the team, or that kind of thing, like that does stand out. That stands out a little bit. The turnaround that Drake May's team has had, that helps. But if you're just talking about this individual season, the completion percentage is off the charts. What he's been able to do running, right? Stafford doesn't run at all. Well, so that's a big advantage for Drake May. If you add the yards and everything else.
I think that's the one thing that like the Orlovskys of the world either are missing or being like willfully ignorant on.
Stafford ran for, do you know how many yards he ran for this year?
Oh, two?
One.
He had three rushing yards then because it was negative going into the game.
He had a long of six. He had 29 attempts for 1 yard.
He got a touchdown in there?
No.
Okay.
No. Drake May had 450 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, so I would add those yards to the passing total, and I would add the touchdowns to the passing total, and I would do that with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, and I would do it with all these Mahomes. Yeah. I would always factor that in. And
another fun stat for
either
you.
They're overlooking it or they're being willfully ignorant because, you know, Orlovsky is Matt Stafford's buddy and his former backup in Detroit or whatever. But, like, I think you have to add that into the mix. You have to.
There's another good stat. Dr. Jesse Morse on Twitter.
Okay.
He's a doctor, so obviously this is going to check out.
You've seen the degree, I'd assume.
I sure have.
Okay.
Since 2013. So a pretty good sample size.
Yep.
Since 2013, every single MVP has either been on the number one or number two seed in their respective conference. Drake May, of course, two seed in the AFC. Matthew Stafford, the five seed. Because I thought this was another one, even going back 3-4 weeks ago, where these two guys were kind of teetering back and forth. And even before Stafford had that really bad game against Atlanta, I was like, well, let's see what happens. And if the Rams are the number one seed and the Pats are the two, yeah, you probably do have to give it to Stafford. But now the Rams not only are not the one seed, they don't win their division. They're the five seed. They're on the road this week. Like, I think that's a great tiebreaker because the only position that we assign win losses to is the quarterback. And so if Drake May had more wins, isn't that even more important?
Yes. And look, I mean, the Patriots have played a way easier schedule than Stafford. That's true. Stafford has more help than May. I think that's also true. So we can run around in circles on this.
Yeah.
I'd give it to May. You would as well. Who do you think actually wins the award?
Oh, Stafford wins it. And it's probably not even going to be that close. So as much as I think it should be Drake May, I think there are too many of the Tom Brady Lifetime Achievement Award people. And then there are also probably too many of the, who had the most touchdowns? Like, let me just see like the raw stats, just like yards and touchdowns. Oh, that's for Stafford. I'll go with him. So I think it'll be him. And there's also that combination of Lifetime Achievement Award for one versus
May's so young.
The start of the career for another.
The only time I'll dabble, like last year, I would have dabbled in, I thought they owed Josh Allen one. But it was never, Lamar's young and he'll have an opportunity to win another one. Like some of it might have been fatigue for me with Lamar, which I guess isn't fair to Lamar. And some of it is Allen was so much better the year before, I thought, and Lamar won it. So like I'll dabble in that. But what Brady's doing, like Stafford's had a great career, not even year, and he has had a great year. But what Brady said is he's had a great career and May has a long career in front of him. That's nonsense.
You know what's
crazy?
That's so
stupid. But I think a lot of people are going to vote that way. I'm with you. I bet Stafford wins it. That would not be my vote. That's not what I would pick. I don't think it's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like egregious or like a travesty.
No,
but
it's close.
It's not how I would vote.
Those should be the only two guys that get votes.
But I think he wins it,
Although I think they may have changed it, right? Do they do a top three? I forget. I think they've changed. Because for years it was you vote for one person. Yep. Now I think it's more. So there'll be other guys that get votes. Here's another fun stat. Now, again, touchdowns are touchdowns, right? But did you see how many one-yard touchdown passes Stafford has this year?
Was it like 12 or 13? 13. Something like that?
Yeah. That's wild.
That's crazy.
That's a ton. I mean,
I think that's the most all-time
For a single season?
It is.
For a single season, yeah.
Yeah, the previous record was 11 Aaron Rodgers in 2020.
I think all of Devontae Adams' touchdowns were one-yarders this year, I think. I'd have to go back and look at the game log, but I think it's something like that.
Kyren Williams is like, hey, coach, maybe we can toss it in there? Hey, John Voight from Varsity Blues, you think we can run one in? He's like, no.
Do you think, so I, Twitch chat is saying this, rather be golfing, Drake lost it yesterday. You think Drake played poorly enough to lose the MVP yesterday?
Oh, not at all.
Stafford played poorly enough to lose it against the Falcons.
That's when I thought, okay, it's wide open now, and he's got a chance.
Do you think May played poorly?
Oh, not at all.
I don't think it was like his best game. I don't think he played poorly. I just think
they handed the ball off all day. They didn't do the if Vrabel decided to, he probably could have thrown five touchdowns instead of running them.
Stafford was throwing pick sixes and interceptions left and right. Like, Stafford was abysmal against the Falcons, and it was a borderline meaningless game for both the Patriots and the Rams yesterday. They both had to win to secure seeding. The Pats, the 2 seed, and the 1 seed was technically still in play, though probably not the way the Chargers were approaching that game against Denver. And then the Rams needed to win to secure the 5 seed.
Right.
So there was seeding at play, but it wasn't a significant game. So to me, I'd largely throw out yesterday, or I wouldn't throw it out in the total volume of the numbers, but I would look at it and say, if I felt like May was the favorite going into yesterday, nothing would have changed my mind. I felt like he should have been.
I think it was that Monday night game against Atlanta where he threw 3 picks and lost to a team that's not in the playoffs. I think that was it, because it was pretty neck and neck, and he was the favorite going into that one. And then I think yesterday was kind of a wash. And you'd be like, oh, well, he threw 4 touchdowns. It's like, right. He threw a couple of those 1 yard touchdowns. They played the Arizona Cardinals. I know the Patriots weren't playing a great team either, but we're not really, I wasn't talking about the stats. I don't think it was a stat breaker. It was just, you didn't want one guy to like collapse. And he got, the most important thing is he got another win. He got 14 wins. That was tied for the most in the NFL this year.
So I would factor that in. I, by the way, look at Drake May. I don't think game manager. I think playmaker is what I think.
Oh, yeah. Darts and scampers.
But don't tell that to our guy, Cam Newton.
Oh, my God.
This was Cam on his 4th and 1 podcast.
When we're talking about the descriptions of Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, Drake May is well and capable, has all the upside and skill set. But last year, under his player's status, a head coach was fired. That's not to say, oh, man, you can't say that. That wasn't all Drake May. He was a young quarterback. But does Gerard Mayo have a job right now?
No, he's out of a job.
Offensive coordinator was Alex Van Pelt. Is he an offensive coordinator anywhere in this league?
Not a coordinator.
Thank you. Now insert Mike Vrabel. Now insert a dynamic play caller in Josh McDaniels. The system is right. So I can't just sit up here and say Drake May is a game changer right now, because we've only had 1 season of dynamic play.
Well, Cam, you only really had one.
Aha, brother. Let's not go there.
You wasn't even like that. Insert the GIF of Cam Newton in a Super Bowl.
I understand that. And they will not understand this. What I'm telling you is the truth. The person that's delivering the truth, you may not like. But guess what? Make sure you like, share, comment. Most of all, make sure you subscribe for more content. But to answer your question, Drake May is a game manager.
Ooh. So he knows that that's like a real insult. Like, that's like the biggest insult you can say about a quarterback. But what Drake May does is really the opposite of the game manager, where game managers don't run and they don't throw the deep ball.
He completed 72% of his passes and a yards per attempt of 8.8, 8.9, whatever it was. Something crazy like that.
Yeah. Oh, his average yards were more than everybody in the league, I believe. Definitely more than Stafford.
He led the league in completion percentage and yards per attempt.
Yeah.
So he's not a game manager.
So it's a high completion percentage far down the field.
And he scoots.
Yeah.
Usually game managers like, just get down, right? Just live for the next one. Find the open guy. You don't have it there. We'll punt, right? We'll kick a field goal. That's what we do for a game manager. So he's not that. He just knows that's sort of like a trigger word or term for quarterbacks. But yeah, between Cam Newton and Dan Orlovsky, it's very odd. It seems like it's very personal. And I guess with Orlovsky it is, because he's best friends with Stafford. But like, for
and
them,
wanted Drake May to sit for 2 years.
He also hated Drake May, the prospect. That's
true. You couldn't have paid him all the money in the world to play Drake May, who now should win the MVP in year two. Yeah, but it is weird. Like, two former quarterbacks, the way they talk about Drake May is bizarre. Because it's like, what did Drake May ever do to them? He grew up loving Cam Newton. I don't know what his relationship with Orlovsky. Probably nothing. But really, really odd trying to like knock this guy down.
I'll tell you what, though. Cam, bad take. But it pops with the music. Like that.
The music.
That helps that take along a lot. Like, I disagree with him.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a good take. And yet, I can't totally hate it because the music is popping.
Make sure you like, share, comment. Most of all, make sure you subscribe.
Sounds like a skit on a CD.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that strengthens it.
Not to give Nick and Billy more work, but maybe at the end of the week we have Jones's take of the week. And we take a regular take from Monday, Tuesday, and then
punch
we
it up a little bit.
Spice it up with a little bit of music.
I like that. This is a good idea.
It's going to be kind of a dull take, though. Yeah, so we jazz it up with the music.
He's like, guys, I like the pass against the Chargers this weekend.
Yeah, like, don't.
Does Gerard Mayo have a job?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, I like that. That's
something
a good idea.
To do.
Yeah.
But that's another one that's odd.
See, we're ideas men, is what we are.
That's all.
That's what we are. I mean, I guess taking and stealing that idea. We did get a text earlier in the show, Keith. We should have thought of this. We should have had glitter guns today that we survived another
celebrate
New Year.
That yeah, we yeah. made it to 2026.
We should have done that. I thought they were going to say glitter guns for the Patriots making the playoffs.
No, anticlimactic because they didn't win in clinch, right? It was sort of like a wait.
It's true.
Although they won the playoffs, but the division we had to wait around for.
We had to sit around and wait. Yeah. That's true. But glitter guns for being back. New year, new us.
Not a bad idea.
Here on Jones and Keith. Dan's in Brockton. Hello, Dan.
Hey, give me 20 seconds. You're going to be amazed by this.
Hang on. You want to put them on the clock? Hang on, Dan.
We'll give you 20 seconds.
If we could just get you on the clock here, Nick.
I said to my wife last night.
All right, go ahead. All right, here we go. Let's punch it up.
All set?
You're ready. Yeah,
you're running out of time.
You're eating into it.
Okay, so the 1974-75 NHL season, Bobby Orr led the league in scoring. He had 19 more goals than the guy who got the award. The Lester Patrick Award, voted by the players, went to Bobby Orr. Mm. He's the only defenseman ever to lead the league in scoring, and he did it twice. And so anyways, he had 46 goals. Clark had 27.
Right. Sorry, you're out of time there, Dan.
So you would say,
they call it the Hart Trophy is what they call that.
So basically, is he saying if May doesn't win, it would be akin to Bobby Orr?
I think not akin. Winning? Probably not worse.
Not worse.
But akin,
second,
yeah.
It'd be akin.
Yeah, it'd be on a Mount Rushmore, if you would. Of the worst MVP emotions.
I was wondering where he was going with it. I didn't know if it was like a year that maybe Brady should have won or somewhere else. Because I saw he was upset about an old MVP race.
Where I assumed it was going. But no, it was about Bobby Orr.
No, this one wouldn't be the most egregious. I just think I would vote for Drake. Some years there's two really, really deserving candidates.
Stafford has a good case. And
so what does Stafford have? Stafford has yards and touchdowns. And
not total yards, but passing yards.
Thank you. Passing yards, touchdowns, and you would argue a tougher schedule.
Rating?
No.
He does not.
Drake May has the better rating, okay. Better completion percentage, more total yards, way more rushing yards, more rushing touchdowns, and more wins.
Better record.
That's what I'm saying, wins. Or record wins, whatever.
Yeah. Now, again, he had an easier schedule, but Stafford has more.
There's a good back and forth.
It would not be egregious.
No.
It would not be my pick, but it wouldn't be egregious.
Do you think it'll be close? Because I think there's what, like 50 voters. Like, how many do you think will go Stafford first?
I think most people who think May should win the MVP are in New England. Like,
two votes.
That's what I think. And then I think the rest of the country's like, yeah, it's Stafford. And it might be faulty logic, and it might be because they owe him one, or May has his whole career in front of him, or whatever. But yeah, I think the people who think May should win is in New England. I think that'd be my answer.
Shut up, us else.
Yeah.
It would make it an even juicier Super Bowl. Like, if it ended up being those two head to head, that's what we want.
Well,
Pats Rams.
That's what.
Can't think of any other matchup.
David Andrews was rooting for a long time. He wants
David
Stafford
Andrews
to get the
Pats
MVP
Rams.
Because, yeah, well, he doesn't want Drake May to get the MVP because when he played with Brady and he was the MVP.
Good point.
No Super Bowl.
Although a couple of years later, Mahomes did both. So.
I get it. I'm just telling you what David Andrews said.
So that could be a big jinx.
Yeah, it could be.
So if Stafford
wins. It
wasn't
for Mahomes, to your point, but it could be.
So if Stafford wins and then the Rams lose in the first round, then Andrews is going to have something to talk about.
He's on to something.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Happy New Year and happy Victory Monday. The regular season is in the rearview mirror, and it's on to the tournament, as Mike Vrabel said there, a classic Parcellian description of the NFL playoffs. Patriots get the 38-10 victory over the Dolphins, take care of business, despite a little kvetching by some of us about the defense for a couple drives there when Quinn Ewers and the JV Dolphins were, Fitzy, kind of moving it up and down the field at will.
Oh, relax. You and Mike Reese and everyone else needs to take it easy.
I love it that it's Mike Reese. It's
take
like
it easy.
Me, Mr. Reactionary Hothead.
But you
quote
tweeted him. So
I did.
The fact that he led the charge, and I could tell. I saw him yesterday.
What were the three words?
Not good enough.
Yeah. As they
not No. Not playoff ready.
Yeah. And that's what they felt like. I'm pretty sure. Yes, Dan Ball.
Andy's were not even close. Those were your three.
Yeah, it was. And then others
and
started
then mine,
replying
and
their
then
own.
Mine was, you guys relax.
And
all right. I like that better.
Thank well, you're going to be relaxed because I'm pretty sure Justin Herbert's a better quarterback than Quinn Ewers, and I'm pretty sure the Chargers are a better football
and
team than the
Dolphins. And
Omarion
Hampton is a better running back than Jalen Wright. And I know they've got Quentin Johnston, and they've got my guy, Ladd McConkey. But, and they still have
Keenan Allen, the bearded
old man,
one.
Old man Allen.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk to the slot corner for the New England Patriots about those would-be matchups, because I actually think that's sneaky interesting. McConkey, who killed him last year and who is a very good but more traditional, smaller slot receiver.
He still has something to prove because it was like, I was right here, Elliot Wolf.
I'm so sick of that.
He stares at Elliot Wolf every time.
We got Drake May. Screw Ladd McConkey. We don't need
him.
What do
you mean, screw him?
But we're going to talk to Marcus Jones, 3:30, pencil him in with a Sharpie. And we'll talk to Drake May sometime in the next 4 hours here on WEEI Afternoons, hopefully earlier rather than later. The MVP... Can I be totally honest? I took the cash out. I don't think he's winning the MVP. Seems like it's Matthew Stafford's award now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I didn't have any faith.
He wasn't willing to let all $2 ride to see if maybe he could cash it in and show a little Foxborough faith. He cashed
in. He hit the group text like a week ago, and it's like, should I cash out? And all of us, to a T, were like, you ride it out, Andy.
And you know what that cost me? Like $6. Because the cash out dropped precipitously yesterday with every Matthew Stafford touchdown pass. And you got Tom Brady saying, hey, you got to give it to Stafford. It's a career achievement award and all these things.
That's exactly what it's going to be. It is not this. It should be renamed this year, in his particular instance, most valuable player over a career, not most valuable player for 2025.
Isn't that called the Hall of Fame? Like if you're really good in your career, you wait 5 years, then you play, then you wait 5 more years like Philip Rivers, and then they put you in the Hall of Fame. But I don't need a career achievement award. It's stupid. It's the MVP for the 2025 regular season. Playoffs don't count, nothing else.
He's already got us. And also, I'd like to point out, he already has a Super Bowl, which I'm sure matters more to him than a regular season MVP award. But we see this happen all the time at the Grammys and the Oscars. People win for albums and especially acting performances or even directorial performances. As much as I love The Departed, that's not Martin Scorsese's best film, but that particular year, He won Best Picture.
And that's where it becomes a snowball. So we'll get into the MVP chatter. Yeah. Is it over? Is it going to be Matthew Stafford? Does Drake May still have a chance? His head coach was on the Greg Hill show this morning, made it quite clear, cut off Chris Curtis, mm-hmm. and said, yes, he is the MVP. Simple answer. We'll probably ask that of Marcus Jones, his thoughts on his quarterback. Marcus Jones, who had another active day, got a sack, and people were comparing him
He's like a great blitzer, Jamie Collins.
He was. And yesterday's wasn't one of those secondary blitzes where you end up free and clear and just get a straight. He actually had to beat a lineman to the quarterback, and he beat said lineman, some guy who outweighs him by
150 pounds. But I'll take him in a foot race against any lineman in the NFL.
Absolutely, and I think most linemen would also be like, hey, this guy's little, where I can't get my hands on him. I'm used to grabbing guys that are my size. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of that. So we will have our entire Patriots Monday lineup, but we do need to start with the 14-3 New England Patriots. Right there. I just want to start with something as simple as, Fitzy, their record, which is ridiculous. A 10-game turnaround. Mm-hmm. I actually say 11 because they were really a three-win football team a year ago. They were gifted a, no, you take it kind of victory in the finale.
Oh, they stepped in it for that.
And the turnaround is remarkable, and I said it last night on the Six Rings post-game show. No one predicted this. No one predicted this. Even the most optimistic, which around here, his name is Taylor Kyles.
Flowers to and shout out Taylor Kyles. He said 13-4.
Wrong.
And what happened
under.
Here and other places? He was laughed at.
Yes.
Scoffed.
Yes, because it was laughable at the time. I go back to it. It was laughable at the time. And yet, here we are, a 14-win football team in which Mike Vrabel, who even, remember when we were talking in August about him kind of pumping the brakes? They weren't playing great. It might have even been the famous Rat press conference in New York.
In fact, that one, they looked like, granted, it was a pretend season football game, but they looked like trash.
And he reacted as such. Yeah. He said something to the effect, remember, it's our first year here and we're just figuring things out. Well, the Raiders game, it looked like you were still figuring things out.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on out, it looked like you figured out that you have one of the handful of best quarterbacks in football. Everything you touched was Midas touch. Ramondre Stevenson's a fumbler. Get rid of him. No, we're going to keep him, and then he'll have three touchdowns in
Barragallis
the finale. Barragallis
can't even freaking kick in the state where he played college, guy.
And then guess what? He's good, and he's hitting 59-yard field goals that are the longest
of
the stadium.
In the cold.
Mr. 72 is cold to me out there in Gillette Stadium hitting 59-yard field goals. So it really is a remarkable story, and that may get lost in the coming week because as the week goes on, it's going to become simply you're hosting the Chargers. Can you beat the Chargers? Who has the better coach? Who has the better quarterback? They have some playoff experience, blah, 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 blah.
This is going to be I think this may be tougher. If the Patriots can win this wild card, super wild card weekend game, and I know a lot of Pats fans are already grousing online, oh, for God's sakes, it's Sunday at 8. I'm not going to get home till 3 in the morning from the
but
game.
You're the game. You're the Sunday night
they
football playoff
you.
Game.
They chose you.
They used
you.
To opt out of your games. They used to bump you from
send you from
time.
Sunday night football to 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Even with Taylor Swift at Gillette Stadium, they sent you to the 1 o'clock prison on Fox.
Now they want May versus Herbert on primetime Sunday
Massive
night football.
Massive ratings. And people are grousing locally. That's all right. That's maybe why we can't have nice things. Everyone will
well,
come around.
The good news is you'll have a Six Rings postgame show up until 2 a.m. on
keep you company.
Monday morning.
Monday, yes. And then
It'll
actually,
Monday.
This was Dan Ball's suggestion. We're just going to go straight through.
Oh, let's bang it out.
Yep.
Tell the rest of the guys,
guys
take
ready?
The day off. We're just going to go marathon.
We'll go 11 p.m. right through to 6 p.m.
Love it. Perfect. Absolutely.
Stiz?
We'll load up on the Lucky Energies and we're ready to roll.
Well, Stiz said Stiz.
Choose me?
Stiz is a baker now.
Where the hell did that come from?
That's from The Simpsons.
Wow.
That's
Goldilocks is gone and we have that as a replacement.
I am. My bread game? Phenomenal.
All right. Why don't we just save that for another day? How about we talk
about
the Patriots?
Stiz, can you save that drop and just play that on yourself going forward, please?
But yes, a year removed. We need to remember, this day a year ago, what were we talking about?
Well, my God, how did they find a way to win that stupid game? And whoa, does the future look ever so bleak with Gerard Mayo and the Patriots?
Well, no, Gerard Mayo was gone. He was gone.
Oh, I was thinking calendar
day. No, this day a year ago, Gerard Mayo was already gone, but yes, you had screwed up the number one overall pick, and what was left in its wake was short-arm discussions about tackles and guys that would be available at 4. Dan Ball.
Yeah, it was rumors in the morning. It was kind of a win with a grudge or a chip on the shoulder, and then a firing, I think, within the course of the day, right?
Yep.
And how long
did it take? Well, no, the firing was right after the game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it was rumors, then a win with kind of a blank you feel.
A weird report that he might be out kind of thing.
That started earlier that morning. And Schefter also that morning on whatever the hell ESPN's Sunday morning countdown show is called, it might just be that, said he was on the hot seat. And that came from out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like we all thought he had at least a two, if not
so did he.
3 year runway. And then an hour into us doing the post game show, Joe Braverman was producing for us, and in my ear he just goes, "Fitzy, breaking news, Mayo's gone."
Yeah.
And I think both of us, I think universally everyone, there was a lot of like, good, finally, glad, et cetera. But I think we were just stunned that they were willing to admit the mistake, eat the money, and then we all, within a few minutes after the bomb blast had radiated past us, we all probably thought the same thing. They're going to go get Vrabel.
Well, even before that, I think the initial reaction was totally unfair. Probably the right decision. Like, those two things can be true. Like,
oh, yes.
You can say, this is totally unfair, and I gave Robert Kraft credit, because he put his reputation on the line. He compared it to picking women and marriages and trips to Israel, and he personalized the entire narrative around Gerard Mayo and immediately said, boom, you're out. And it's a cold business. We saw it this week in Atlanta, and we will get into some of the Black Monday or whatever you want to call it in the NFL, where Raheem Morris is hugging Arthur Blank. And I think it was under 4 hours later they were announcing Raheem Morris is out. So you go from a post-game hug to get the hell out of here.
Even though he is beloved by the players. And I have very specific thoughts and feelings both on the other dismissals and who I think those teams should get.
Oh, there, we'll get into that. We'll get into that, and we'll have more as the week goes on. Potentially, we could have more next week. There's a couple playoff coaches that I'm not sure should be buying green bananas, maybe in Pittsburgh or Buffalo. A couple guys that could also end up in this cycle of coaching hires. But Fitzy, biggest takeaway from the win yesterday, it was a JV performance by the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Ewers, who actually I think got hurt. I don't even know how that played out. You got to see Zach Wilson
stink, by
late.
The way. I mean, he threw a bad interception to Jalen Hawkins. But he's not like...
Good.
I don't think he's their future, but I also don't think he's a dud.
He didn't just throw an interception to Jalen Hawkins. He got the old Greg Olsen, not sure if it was too far in front of that receiver or too far behind that receiver, but either way, it's an interception for the pay. Never good when the play-by-play guy who's really good has no idea who you were throwing the football
to. It's like game three.
In the red zone, tighter quarters, you're probably supposed to be
more accurate.
And also,
they weren't able to. They also did the Patriots a favor earlier in the game when they drove down the field, got in the red zone, and on fourth and one, Quinn Ewers thought, I know what I'll do. I see three Patriots and two Dolphins standing in the same spot. I'll just throw the ball up there.
Yeah, it wasn't
What's
great.
The worst thing that can happen?
It wasn't great execution. That helped the Patriots a great deal. And then the Patriots rolled to the victory. But what was your biggest takeaway from the game that might matter next Sunday night against the Chargers?
Oh, the biggest takeaway by far is that the running game is finally a factor.
Yes.
It took all 18 weeks.
Time on task.
That's right. And it took all 18 weeks, 17 games, the entirety of the preseason. But the final month of the year, Ramondre Stevenson has been the best player on offense for the New England Patriots.
No wonder May's not winning the MVP. He's not the best player on his offense right now.
Because the Ramonster came and stole the thunder right out from under him.
The guy who fumbles a lot?
Yeah, he hasn't done that in a while.
But
you know what he's done instead? Just absolutely bowled over some big old boys and found the TD house three times yesterday. One on the pass, two on the ground. It's just it's a factor, and it diversifies what Josh can do. It's also going to lead other teams to think, wait a second, we can't just focus on May because this Mondre kid's been good. And oh, BT Dubs, the rookie that they got, he doesn't suck either.
Dan Ball.
So that was they finished the season with, I believe it was 20 rushing touchdowns for the first time since it was either 19 or 21, and I forget the year, but they didn't have a rushing touchdown until week four. And you think about how the season began, 1-2, nearly 0-3 if Achan doesn't step out of bounds. So there's a direct correlation between figuring out the running game between Henderson and Stevenson and them just dominating for the majority of the season. So it's a very underrated, important part of this year's success.
It's huge. And for Patriots fans that have memories of Sony Michel and that evolution of that team that became a run-first team in the postseason on the way to following James Devlin to a Super Bowl, this is a better version. This is a much better version.
Is that how the history books remember it,
that's
Andy?
That's how the history books remember it in my household. But this is a much better version. Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson are the best 1-2 punch the Patriots have had since...
Vereen and Ridley?
Way better.
Yeah.
I mean, because these are legitimate each guy can be first down, second down,
James
third
White
down.
And LeGarrette Blount in 2016.
I think this is way better than that.
No.
Absolutely.
Andy, do you forget how many touchdowns LeGarrette Blount had in 2016?
They were like Matthew Stafford touchdown passes. They came from the one.
He had a bunch of long runs.
I know,
for
he
touchdowns.
Led the NFL. It was great.
He was excellent, and James White was tremendous.
So did Cam Newton. This is the best 1-2 punch.
Cam Newton.
This is the best 1-2 punch, and we'll get to Cam Newton because he's at it still. The Bear is saying dumb things in the forest and doing other things as well. But this is the best 1-2 punch I can ever remember, because most of those other guys were third down backs. They were sort of role players. They were really good. James White was awesome. I don't want this to turn into, you don't think James White is good.
Insert, he could have been MVP in Super Bowl 51 discussion here, yes.
Either one of these running backs I can line up on first down and feel really good. Second down and feel really good. Third down and feel really good. Also, I feel like either one of them can go 35 to 55 yards on any given play.
But also, like you just mentioned, like, the Shane Vereens, the Kevin Falks, the Danny Woodheads, and obviously the James Whites, they were mostly passing backs.
Yeah.
Either one of these guys can slip out from the backfield and catch a pass and potentially take it to the house. All the way back in week two, I still say one of the most remarkable plays of the year for this football team was that 55-yard escaping wheel route to Ramondre against Miami. That turned that game. You could have argued that maybe they would have gone 0-2 into a week three matchup against the Steelers had Ramondre not
And
busted out that play.
Power running back making a nice fingertips catch down the field, something wide receiver named Devontae Parker could never have done based on his time.
The problem was
Mac
Jones hit him in the hands.
Yeah, and just not the full hand, just the fingertips, which I thought for receivers is where you caught the ball. I watched a lot of Jerry Rice videos. It's all about the fingertips. That's why he could catch bricks. But what do I know? The Patriots, with an interesting performance, they played their players. Not all the playoff teams did that, including the team you're going to play on Sunday, the Chargers. Do they have momentum heading into the postseason beyond just the ground game? They get Will Campbell back. They get Milton Williams back. They knock the rust off. Hopefully, they're getting healthier with some of those other key cogs on defense. You're without Robert Spillane. You're without Harold Landry and my guy Tonga. Now, those guys hopefully will be back. But
you claim Tonga now?
I'm a big Tonga. He's a fullback.
I'm the one who is shouting for him to get his jerseys.
You can have him on defense, on fullback.
Okay, you get him on offense, I'll take him on defense.
And this will be a game, actually, where you could have two defensive linemen at fullback because the Chargers have a beast of a fullback on their offense.
Isn't he like a defensive line?
Yeah.
He's Tonga-esque as well.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. People forget, like, just because Rashawn Slater and Joel Alt, easily the best the best running back combo in the NFL, best one the Patriots have had in forever. They had the best tackle combo. Even though they got a bunch of backups in there, they still have a lot of size. Like a game against the Chargers is going to be punishing.
617-779-7937. It is a Patriots Monday after a big victory, a big season. 14-3 Patriots prepare for the Chargers Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. We'll break down the game to a degree, but more we're going to see what came from that game, what came from this season that prepares them for Sunday against Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, and the Chargers. How are you feeling about your football team? I think there's some people out there on a national level that thinks there's some fraudulency going on in Foxborough, that this team could be a one and done. I'll be honest, I was getting some one and done from quote-unquote Patriots fans on Twitter after the Mike Reese comments about the defense that I retweeted. There's a lot of frauds out there in Patriot Nation, unless they voice those opinions today. Feeling good about the matchup? Is this the best matchup? 617-779-7937. Taking your phone calls next. We also have to talk about, because Fitzy and I weren't here through the tumult of late last week with Diggs and Barmore and some situations which didn't affect the team on Sunday.
Hello, 5 days without an allegation, guys. Can we update the calendar?
Cupcakes.
We're almost on our way to a week.
Can we get cupcakes to celebrate?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars.
Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.